Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream. After a season like no other, there's just so much to unpack. We need to keep talking about it all summer long. We are Triple M Footy.
Oh, it's game on! Oh.
Thanks to Brighton's lawyers. This is Triple M Summer Session.
And a very good afternoon. Triple M Summer Session for Bryden's Lawyers. 1800 848 848. You know what it is. It's a rugby league show across the summer. It's the sport that never sleeps. My name is Anthony Maroon, my partner in crime, and my good friend James Triceps Hooper is here as well. Hello, mate.
Afternoon, the one and only Redfern Rocket. How are you?
Fantastic. Good to get hold of you on a kind of a long weekend.
Week is a long time in the great game of rugby league, yeah. Anthony. And we are going to discuss all matters pertinent. But first, what I want to get to, a lot of listeners have been asking the question, the Camaro, your Camaro, you're a car enthusiast, you're a car lover. It's up on the hoist.
Yeah, till the
What's happened?
The 19th of March, it's going to be off the road for, I crashed it, it's off the road till the 19th of March. So, right. You know, I mean... I'm shattered, but, you know, somebody will lend me a car, I'm sure.
The main thing is that you're okay, but I am going to take you up on that last line that you've just alluded to there. Some listeners are suggesting, knowing yourself, you will probably solicit for a free vehicle on the airwaves.
Well, I probably won't have to if you're going to keep doing it for me. But look, I'll have a word to my mates at Mitsubishi. So if I can't get something for a few days, they are
cha-ching.
Great sponsors of the NRL. Mate, what's been going on in your week? You've had the kids at home and, of course, with school holidays.
Yeah, well, it's a little bit tricky because I'm back at work for Fox Sports. So it's been a juggling act. The kids have done a little bit of vacation care. We are going to take them up the coast after we finish this show today, for a couple of nights, a bit of a freshen up on the beautiful Central Coast. But mate, you know, it's been a balancing act, been playing a lot of cricket. My little bloke's right into the cricket at the moment, loves getting down into the nets and loves bowling and batting and having a bit of a banter along the way. So he wasn't very happy. He thought the Aussies were out of sorts. They didn't play the Indians the way that they needed to.
I know it's not a cricket show, but what about the cricket?
Oh, what a terrific yarn. Like, for India to come out, Australia haven't lost a game at the Gabba dating all the way back to the 1980s. Reading all the analysis of it afterwards, it was just so unexpected. Mm. Like, that is one of the greatest upsets in the history of cricket. And the Indians need to be commended because the side that they put on the park for that final test up in Brisbane, it was their C side. Like, their best bowler had broken his arm and their captain had to go home in Virat Kohli because he wanted to be there for the birth of his first child. So, like, there were that many reasons why India should have got beaten, and they deserve a lot of credit and a lot of kudos for being able to perform the way they did.
Well, when they were talking about it being a C-side, and their B-side, it reminded me of the worst Queensland Origin side ever that won the series in 2020.
I thought you were going to say the Waterloo Waratahs when they used to leave you on the bench for entire games and you'd have the ice cream bucket upside down with the glasses taped around the outside. Look, that was, in hindsight, that line hasn't aged well about the worst Queensland side. Interesting to note, over the last couple of weeks, the great Wayne Bennett has decided he's not going to push on as Queensland coach. The Maroons are obviously in the process of finding a new candidate who's going to take the reins there. Variety of big names mentioned: Cameron Smith, Billy Slater, Paul Green. I don't know which way they're going to go yet, the Queensland Rugby League, but I do know, as we discussed last week, they're not going to want a stopgap solution. So that's why Paul Green, as much as he'd be a terrific candidate, if he can only do it for 1 year and he's going to be looking for an NRL job in 22, I'm not sure that the QRL will want to go that way.
Okay, we might get a chance to talk about that more in the course of the show. We will talk about Payne Haas. We'll talk about the salary cap reduction. You've got some mail for us as well. It's all coming up. It's thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. It's the Triple M Summer Session.
Triple M Summer Session. Thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. They commit, protect and succeed.
Triple M Summer Session is thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. It's a rugby league show and it's talking about rugby league across the summer. Plenty of news with Maroon and Hoops to talk about. The big story, though, this week, probably in the last 48 hours at least, Hoops, has been the story of a salary cap reduction. Players across the board have okayed a reduction in the salary cap. It was needed.
Yeah, look, it had to happen given the pandemic that swept around the world last year and all the haircutting that needed to be done at NRL headquarters. Of course, the players were going to have to be a part of that given the amount of money that was stripped out of the game because of everything that happened last season. So, look, they've done the right thing, specifically the State of Origin players. They've taken a 50% haircut. So, previously, State of Origin, if you played one match, it was a $30,000 match payment. Now that's been stripped back to 15. But aside from that, across the board, it works out, it shakes out at a 6% cut, which I think is reasonably fair given the circumstances. And I've got to commend the representative players who did take that heavy cut, because what that means is that the lowest paid players, the minimum wage players, haven't had to take that much of a snip. And Anthony, I know how much you love your folding, and I know how much you know it is important for the little bloke across the board. He's got to be able to put food on the table too.
Well, that's right. But if I took another snip here, mate, I'd be actually paying them to come to work. But can I say, like,
that's not true.
I think people put it all in the one basket and say these players get paid too much anyway. But let me put it to you like this, Hoops. If you're getting paid, if you're getting paid 400 grand a year, which is a huge amount of money, 500 grand a year, but you go out and live accordingly, don't you? You might go and get yourself a $2 million mortgage and a brand new Audi. So if you've just done that and you've got to take a pay cut, well, I mean, you've got to be commended because you live to the money you think you have.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, I think all of the players have taken a really practical approach across the board in relation to the fact that they have had to take a little haircut. There were some other forces at play in the game that were agitating for there not to be a cut and for things to be sliced up a variety of different ways, but sanity's prevailed. I've got to commend Peter Volandis and Andrew Abdo. I think they've worked tirelessly on this. They've also worked in conjunction with Clint Newton at the Rugby League Players Association, and thankfully, they've all been adults and common sense has prevailed.
Okay, we're going to speak to Andrew Abdo a little bit later on, the CEO of the NRL, about this pay cut. But just a couple of tips on what you can do, players, if you're saving money over the summer and into autumn. Go to Aldi, get the Tim Tam, get the mock, the fake Tim Tams. They're nearly as good as the real Tim Tams. Or if you're having Chinese takeaway, you know, nuke your own rice in the Mikey. That's a good way to save $3 or $4 as well.
What are the mock Tim Tams called?
I think they're called Temptons or something like that. They're just like a Tim Tam.
Okay.
You can save a buck there.
Yeah.
Like I say, if you're having Chinese or Thai,
yep,
make your own rice in the Mikey.
Yep.
Happy days like that, you know.
Save a couple of pesos.
Absolutely, you know. Do a couple of hot dogs. You can do hot dogs in the Mikey as well these
Mate,
days.
If there is a bloke that does know how to cut a dollar in half,
yep,
quarters, and then thirds again, it is your very good self, Anthony.
Well, I mean, the dollar you don't spend is the dollar you don't have to make, isn't it? You know what I mean? Now, let's talk about Payne Haas, because this is really grinding my gears, this story. He's allegedly, he's going to go to court February 2. He's, what I'm hearing is he's given the police some lip. He's intimidated police. He's sworn at police. It's all got to go to the court.
Yep.
Where do you see this Payne Haas thing?
Well, firstly, why is it grinding your gears?
Why it's grinding my gears, I'll tell you why. Because every time a player does something stupid now, allegedly in the case of Payne Haas, we got to hear about his mental health. That's all well and good to talk about his mental health, right? I've got kids that age myself. They just know. They just know that you don't give police lip. You don't go off at police trying to do their job. Like, Payne Haas's mental health, sure, let's worry about that. But what about the police that are copping the abuse, allegedly, at the end of this knucklehead? I mean, honestly, is he not old enough? This is a State of Origin player. I don't care what's going on in his life. I don't care how much he's had to drink. This is not the right way to behave. And at the back end of it, to say, oh, we better get the player welfare in, the Petro Sivas there now worrying about their mental health, that's all well and good. But if he was my son, I'd say, mate, put all that aside. If you go around giving police lip, you just need a good kick up the ass.
Yeah, look, well said, Anthony. For the first time in a long time, you've hopped off the fence. You haven't got splinters. And I'll tell you what, you have got the Louisville Slugger out and the 8-ounce gloves, and you have thrown a few. So, look, I'll let the courts be the judge, because what I will say in response to your strong statements is Let's look at the case of Curtis Scott in recent times.
Yep.
And let's also, in even more recent times, look at the case of Tom Starling from the Canberra Raiders. Now, this has come out yesterday. He was charged with 7 offences over the course of Christmas because of an altercation with police. 6 of them have now been dropped.
Yep.
In the case of Curtis Scott, he's suing the police. I think it's for $100,000. It might even be more for wrongful treatment, right? So there are always two sides to the story. Of course, not for a second am I suggesting that anybody should go out and start giving the police lip. They do a damn hard job. They've got a damn hard job. They're on the front line. They earn every dollar and they deserve some respect. So let's see how it plays out in the court and what both sides of the story are, and then I'll have a view on Payne Haas.
Well, I did throw a couple of alleged in there, and he has got to face court February 2. But somebody at the Broncos...
Then you came steaming in from the Paddington end, like in the old days, and it was Merv Hughes stuff.
But, I mean, don't you think, like I've got a lot of time for police, and I don't do anything wrong, so I don't need to have police on my side. But don't you think police in a border town of Tweed Heads have had enough to do over the last 12 months from copping abuse from this bloke, if that's what's happened? And, like, it's not just him. I'm just sick of hearing about players' mental health. Like, I mean, at the age of 22 or 23, if you don't know that's the wrong thing to do, you got more problems than your mental health.
Yeah, but there's always other factors as well.
Anthony. Hang on.
He's had a day on the sauce.
Yeah,
right?
Who cares?
They've had a day on the sauce, right? We don't know what the circumstances were, and it's flared up at the end. He's done the wrong thing. He's been charged. He's now got to go through the punishment of going to court. He may well get found guilty or whatever it is that he's been charged with. We've seen a statement from him out of the Brisbane Broncos that he's remorseful. He knows he's done the wrong thing. It's cost him the captaincy, so he is going to cop a whack as a result of it. I'm sure if he had his time again, he'd do it different.
But he can't change it now. Listen, mate, you're starting to sound like one of these,
I'm glad you've had your cranky pills this morning.
It's just good to see you off the fence.
Well, we don't know until it all comes out in court. And the reason I say that is because I point to Curtis Scott and I point to Tommy Starling.
Mm.
And when their versions of events came out and when we saw the body cam imagery that was shot from the police body cameras that they wear, well, all of a sudden everybody had a different view.
Well, okay. Well, we might talk more about that a little bit later on when we speak to Andrew Abdo from the NRL. The CEO is going to come on and chat with us. What does the Fox say with James Triceps Hooper is coming up as well. Our first club in focus will be the Sharkies, who made the 8, but they finished 8th. And we'll talk more about that as we rock the NRL over summer here at Triple M.
Triple M Summer Session, thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. They commit, protect and succeed.
It's an NRL show right across the summer. We call it the Triple M NRL Summer Session. It's thanks to Bryden's. It's time for this.
On Triple M Summer Session, this is... What does the fuck say?
Yes, James Triceps Hooper, a.k.a. The Fox, has got all the mail of what's going on in rugby league world over... Summer, just before we get to that, have you been doing any training in the off-season, James?
Bits and pieces, Anthony. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Been straight up and down, probably a fair few schooners and quite a few chicken schnitzels.
Right.
But in between, a little bit of boxing, little bit of light training, I would call it. I wouldn't say it's been heavy training.
The old...
Probably need to get back into a bit more heavy-duty stuff.
Right. Yeah. The old schnitzel, the old...
Been in a good paddock.
Yeah. What's your... You like the chicken schnitzel? Do you have a favourite place to get it from, James?
Unlike you, Anthony, no, I don't solicit and try and plug joints to get
freebies on
the airwaves. So, no, I won't be broadcasting where I go and have a chicken schnitzel. I don't feel the need.
All right, let's talk about some stuff that's going on in rugby league. Cam McInnes and Andrew McCulloch, what's going on there at the Dragons? Is McInnes on the way out?
Yeah, there's a big watch on this one. I think we'll know more as of next week. But what I find intriguing, Anthony, is... The Dragons haven't made him an offer yet for next year. So he's signed for this season, but he's off contract. He's their captain. He's got the Dragons medal as their best and fairest player the last 2 seasons. He was in Freddie Fittler's New South Wales Origin 27-man blue squad last year, and they all spoke massively in glowing terms about what a professional he was and just what a positive influence around the group he was. So I must say it does surprise me. Further complicating the situation is the fact that the new Dragons coach, Anthony Griffin, has clearly decided that he wants Andrew McCulloch from the Brisbane Broncos, And he wants him to be his starting hooker for this season and for next year, which means Cam McInnes will play that role like we saw him utilised in and did a damn good job at last season as like a small ball playing number 13. So there's a big watch on this. It does, you know, sort of trying to read the tea leaves. It does look as though if a rival club comes in and they made a significant offer, I wouldn't think it's beyond the realms of possibility that we could see McInnes somewhere else.
Well, you'd think maybe a Dogs or even a Titans. If the Titans miss out on a few of those other options, maybe. I mean, he's a good, honest, experienced player.
Good dummy half. Great dummy half. Like, it was only 2.5 years ago that it was a neck-and-neck race between himself and Damien Cook as to who was going to be the New South Wales number 9. Damien Cook obviously won that battle and has since gone on to also win the vacant Australian number 9 jumper. But McInnes, he's a damn good, creative, tough number 9. And I must say, I'm surprised. At the same time, I think from a St. George Illawarra point of view, they hired Anthony Griffin because they wanted to shake the roster up. They wanted to make changes and they knew that they needed to do things differently because what they had been doing, well, it didn't work. Last year they finished 12th, the year before they finished 15th. So in fairness, they have got to back Anthony Griffin in here. They've got to allow him the latitude to make the hard decisions. And he's clearly in the process of making one here.
I've written Brandon Smith down here. Is there any mail on Brandon Smith?
Yeah, Brandon Smith, this is an interesting one. So obviously the Melbourne Storm gave him permission at the back end of last year to test his value on the open market. When he did that, the Gold Coast Titans came in heavily. They're still looking for a quality number 9 and they want to play Brandon Smith at hooker. Now, Brandon Smith, his preference in terms of what position he plays is that he plays hooker. Of course, at Melbourne, Cameron Smith was there last year and for the 20 seasons before that. And now they've got this young gun, Harry Grant, who was obviously on loan to the Tigers last season. So the Titans were in the process of trying to land Brandon Smith. And Melbourne actually said, okay, well, we'll actually release him. We'll even let him go for this season. We'll do a swap with you. We want Tino Fasuamalaawi back. And you can have Brandon, right? To which the Gold Coast responded like you did there, Anthony, and laughed and said, no thanks, but no thanks. We view him as probably the best emerging forward in the game. So Brandon Smith, the Melbourne Storm's plan is they're going to play Brandon Smith at lock. There's a big watch on how this plays out. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, whether Brandon's happy, whether he wants to play in that position. He definitely views himself as a starting number 9. He wants to be a starting hooker at an NRL club. But as we've seen with the Josh Adokar situation, Melbourne will play hardball if they've got players on contract, and Brandon Smith is signed with the Storm until the end of 2022.
Well, I was down at Bronte the other day having a coffee with Miss Portugal 1984 when Hugo strolling by looking $1 million eating chips and gravy after a recent trip to Cessnock, the great Joey Johns, and I believe he's back on the coaching staff at Parra.
Did you see the 8th?
I did.
Whereabouts?
Just in those shops down at Bronte there. He was getting chips and gravy.
Yeah, he's a local down there. Mm. Yeah. How was he looking? He was looking...
Mate, he's been doing so much surfing. He looks fantastic.
Oh, awesome. Good.
Almost as good as his brother, he looks.
Yeah, okay. Matt from Collaroy. Mm. Very good long-time listener of the program and often provides very entertaining banter. He enjoys highlighting and singling out elements of your performance, doesn't he, Anthony?
He certainly does.
He provides entertaining critiques.
But I've come up with this thing that if I could have your triceps, young Matthew from Collaroy's biceps, Joey Johns' abs, and Wendell Saylor's behind, I mean, that's the ultimate man. That's the ultimate. And
what
my
about
brain.
Your calves?
And my brain. And my calves. Oh,
Your brain, Teddy. And there's a caraway seed rattling around up there somewhere. Now, look, in relation to the 8th, on a serious note, he's back out at Parramatta. So he was out there earlier this week. I spoke to their coach, Brad Arthur. He's loving the fact that Joey's allowed to be more hands-on. Obviously, last year with all the COVID bubble restrictions, Joey was only able to go out and have Zoom meetings and also speak to players through the fence and all those sorts of challenges. So the fact that he's able to be out there hands-on working with their key position players, their halves, Clint Gutherson at fullback, Reed Marnie at dummy half, and also working a lot on Mitchell Moses' short and long kicking game. So I think Parramatta have recruited nicely for this season. I know they faded out at the back end of last year, but when you look at the curveballs that they got served up with Michael Jennings rubbed out on game day in a final and losing a winger in the opening couple of minutes of one of those games. I reckon they held their hands up the Eels. And if I'm an Eels fan, I think there is reason for optimism this season. You throw in, you know, you'll probably laugh at this, Anthony, but you throw in Bryce Cartwright as a bit of an X factor. Mm. Keegan Hipgrave adds some edge and some mongrel. I feel as though the Eels, they're a shot.
Yeah. Okay. What about Jerome Hughes?
Yeah, this one, again, will play out over the course of the next couple of weeks. We're talking, rival clubs are apparently talking about offering Jerome Hughes upwards of $800,000 a season, which initially I kind of went, well, hang on. And then I went, well, actually, he's a premiership winning halfback. He's a Kiwi halfback. His form in the finals last year in the big games, he wasn't able to do it the year earlier when Melbourne made the big decision to get rid of Brady Croft and then try and manufacture Jerome Hughes into a halfback, because he's not a, he hasn't come through as a halfback. He's come through the grades as a fullback. But his performances towards the back end of last season were first class. And so clubs like Cronulla and like the Brisbane Broncos, who need a senior, experienced, organised playmaker, the Gold Coast Titans, you can throw them in as well, they're all going to have a red hot crack at Jerome Hughes. And apparently he wants to try and get his future sorted before the start of this season, so it's not a distraction and it's not in the headlines. So he's got a big decision to make.
I'm on $800,000 a year, but it's a special thing over 20 years. So,
I thought you were on 800,000 baht. Or peanuts.
What about Matt Burton? Now, the door is closed on him getting out of Penrith this season.
Yeah, Panthers coach Ivan Cleary was in the newspapers again this week saying, absolutely not, we won't be releasing Burto. He's a big part of the Panthers' plans. I think you'll find they plan to play him at right centre. That's certainly where he's been training over the course of the summer. And he'll be competing with Brent Naden and also Dean Farre. So a couple of other experienced players there. Brent Naden's obviously had his challenges over the course of the summer off the back of last year's grand final. There's a big watch on how that plays out. Look, I can understand Penrith's position, because if anything happens to Nathan Cleary or Jerome Luai, and both were in the extended state of origin squad at the end of last season, well, they need a backup playmaker, and Matt Burton's a damn good backup playmaker.
Indeed he is. Well, look, we're going to look at a club in focus very shortly today. We're up to the Sharkies, who finished eighth. They've had a couple of seasons in and around the bottom of the top eight. We'll have a look at the Sharks, their coach, their recruits, et cetera, et cetera. We'll do that next. We'll talk to entrepreneur Chad Townsend about his beer that's taken the Shire by storm. It's all coming up right here on the NRL Summer Session at Triple M.
Triple M Summer Session. Thanks to Brighton's lawyers. They commit, protect and succeed.
Triple M rocking the NRL right across the summer. This is the Triple M Summer Session. Thanks to our mates at Brighton's lawyers, where they commit, protect and succeed. See Brighton's lawyers for expert legal advice for more than 40 years. And if you have a legal inquiry, no matter how big or small, get in touch with the team at Brighton's lawyers. It's Maroon, Tricep Super. Thanks for all the emails we've got through the week. This one from Alan in Wentworthville says, love the show. Is it going right across the preseason? We're going to make it stretch out as long as we possibly can, Alan. If we can get a few more weeks out of it, we will. But good to see you listening while you are on the mower out in the backyard on the old Sione Katoa, on the old mower. Have a great day.
Where was he, Al?
He's at Wentworthville.
Oh, beautiful.
Up there, where they've had a little bit of a drama. I think they've had a bit of a COVID hotspot at the moment, isn't it, old Wenty?
Yeah, it has. Yeah, the various pockets of Western Sydney have had their challenges in relation to COVID-19. It's also where one of your clubs is,
One of Sydney's finest.
You've been out there lately? Or
I've been out there for a couple of meetings and a beef stir fry, but I haven't done any work.
Okay, How's the beef go?
Oh, the beef stir fry out there. It's worth the trip to Wentworthville. That's all I'll say.
20 leagues?
20 leagues, yeah.
Beautiful.
I mean, by the time you add the tolls, it's a quite expensive beef stir fry, but mate, I don't care. Yeah, if Miss Portugal wants beef stir fry, off we go.
Yep, beautiful.
Now, let's talk about our club in review this time around. Eighth finishing Sharkies. They seem to have been in the bottom end of the eight for a couple of years now. Before we start, Gaines, well, the only one of note is Aidan Tolman, who is, of course, the veteran who's joined the club from the Doggies. And they lose Jason Bakuya and Cameron King. Bakuya's retired. They've re-signed a bunch of good players. Royce Hunt, Toby Rudolph, Sia Sifa-Talakai, among others, but they really haven't been big in the marketplace, Hoops.
Well, no, they haven't got any money as a result of their previous head coach, Shane Flanagan. He spent most of the dough before he was moved on by the club in his last coming. And so as a result, John Morris has had to make do with the roster that he's got. Now, the challenges he's got rolling forward into this year, Sean Johnson's out with that Achilles injury, most likely for the opening couple of months of the season, which is big because he was one of their best players last year. That will mean most likely that Matt Moylan starts the season at 5'8", in the halves with Chad Townsend, who we're going to speak to later on in the program. Moylan has apparently been on fire at training. He hasn't missed a session. He is off contract at the end of this year. He understands how important it is that he has a massive rip the door off the hinges season for the Sharkies. So I'm expecting big things from Matty Moylan this year. Couple of big acquisitions off the field, Maroon.
Yeah.
Lukey Lewis is working as an assistant coach alongside Bomber Morris. And also Paul Gallen as well has also joined the coaching staff. So I think having both of those old boys back around will be beneficial for the group. Where do I think they'll finish? Look, I think they'll nip around the eight and they may well miss out.
Yeah, well, you can't say a bloke's go. That, I mean, everybody looks good at training, Hoops. I mean, you know, when I was at the Waterloo Waratahs, tunnel ball, burpees, leapfrog, tug of war, I was on fire. British Bulldog, the old Cocky Laura.
Cocky Laura.
But come game day, you can't, you know, you can't say a...
Well, then you couldn't get a start, though.
I couldn't
get a... They just used to leave you on the bench.
He did, too.
I said, and it wasn't through injury.
Once they told me to go to Waterloo Oval and the game was a Burralee. But
no, in the fairing department on the Sharkies, look, I think there's going to be some off-field distractions there as well because, yeah, we touched on their coach, Bomber Morris. Now, look, he's done an admirable job over the course of the last couple of years. He's had salary cap restraints. He's had a restricted roster. He's been punished for the sins of the past in relation to the club, not of his doing. And he's got them into the finals, but I think the issue is they couldn't beat a top eight side last year. Mm. They made the finals. They finished eighth. They led the Raiders and then got rolled in the opening week of the finals. The fact that they couldn't beat a top eight team last season, I think that will dictate that Bomber Morris probably doesn't get another contract with the Cronulla Sharks beyond this season.
And what happens then?
I would think that they're looking at people like your Craig Fitzgibbons at the Sydney Roosters, Cameron Seraldo, who's out at the Penrith Panthers as their assistant. I think Paul Green's also available. So I reckon the power brokers at the club will have already made an informed decision over the summer. This is a fascinating twist. I've heard Bomber Morris has actually essentially been told just to coach the football side. Don't worry about the recruitment side of things. They've brought Darren Mooney back in to look at the roster, and they're going to have about $2.5 million to spend because off contract as of the end of this year, it's the likes of Matt Moylan, Sean Johnson, Aaron Woods, Josh Dugan. It's all their big name, big money players.
Yeah.
So they're going to have some dough to spend in the marketplace. But I think the fact that Bomber Morris isn't getting a large say in relation to recruitment and the roster rolling forward probably indicates that in all likelihood, unless he comes out and wins his opening six games, I'd be surprised if he's there next year.
Now, Sean Johnson, Josh Dugan, Aaron Woods, a couple of the names you mentioned there. Are you think they're likely? What about Josh Dugan? Is he likely to be? What's going to happen to Joshy Dugan?
Well, look, they've been trying to move Josh for a number of years now. And to Josh's credit, he fought his way back from a tough predicament last year. They were trying to shift him at the start of last season. It all flared up. It made its way into the headlines. Ultimately, they couldn't move him because he was on too much money and they couldn't find strike a reasonable deal anywhere else. And so as a result, Josh had to stay. Then, of course, Josh Morris ended up moving to the Sydney Roosters. And so there was a spot available in the centres and they needed Josh Dugan. And he did a damn good job when he played. Like he does still have a crack, Dukes. Mm. But I'd be thinking, I'd be surprised if the Sharkies sent him around again. Or if they do, it'll be on a hugely reduced deal.
Sean Johnson?
Yeah, I guess it depends how he comes back from this Achilles. But he had his best season for the Sharks last year. Like, he was arguably their best player. So if he comes back from the injury and he can recapture that style of form, I would think that he's a chance. It's going to depend on who the coach is, too.
Yeah. Mm.
I mean, the fact that they're in for Jerome Hughes. They're having a big crack at Jerome Hughes. They've indicated that. They've obviously identified that he's a player of terrific talent, and they see that area as an area they can strengthen the club.
When you mentioned all those possible coaches' hoops, you didn't say Mr. Shane Flanagan. He's going to come straight into contention for a few of these top jobs, you would think.
Yes, no question. Some clubs will look at Shane and will see his credentials, and they may well give him a crack. But I think there'll also be others that'll go, you know what? He has got himself into strife at times over the years. He'll tell you it was none of his doing and not his own fault. But I reckon some clubs would say, do we want to go down that road? Probably no, but no question, there will be some suitors that will think that Shane Flanagan can get them back to the promised land.
Okay, the players the Sharks have re-signed, we touched on them quickly, but Royce Hunt will have a go, the Kalgoorlie kid. Sione Katoa, William Kennedy, the son of Bubba, is signed there. Ronaldo Mulitalo, Toby Rudolph. Talakai is another big name, and Chad Townsend will be there till 2023. Keep your eyes on Braden Trindle.
He's a bit of a character, that Toby Rudolph. So I got a phone call over the course of the off-season, private number. I thought, okay, here we go. So I answer the phone. Hooper, Hooper. I got a scoop for you. It's James Maloney. I'm coming back. I'm coming back to the NRL. I'm going, geez, I know this voice. I know this voice, but I just couldn't pick it off the bat. So we sort of got into a bit of banter and a bit of a conversation. And then ultimately he hung the phone up. It was bugging me. I was going, who was that? And then the penny dropped and I went, I know who it was. So he's a bit of a character, Toby Rudolph. Had a good season last year for the Sharkies. One of their unsung forwards. I've heard... he's important for the group because he can lighten things up, but he also trains super hard. And I reckon he's going to have a good year.
And you've got the Sharkies not in the top eight.
No, I'd have the Sharkies just outside the top eight.
It's interesting because last week, you know, there's 16 teams in the NRL and none of them, according to you last week, none of them are going to finish last.
That's not true. Take that back.
None of them.
I said St. George will get the spoon last week.
Okay,
look, St. George Illawarra.
We're going to take a break. Later on, we'll look at our other team in review. They've got to have a big year, the Newcastle Knights. More NRL news coming up too, and we'll be joined by the CEO of the NRL, Mr. Andrew Abdo. We can't wait for season to kick off again. It's a summer session thanks to Brydens. Rocking the footy at Triple M.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.